Back here on Downtown's 4:30, your Tuesday afternoon Halloween. Time to talk some Celtics basketball as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey, John, how are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm working on my James Harden costume for Halloween.
So you're a ghost?
Yeah, with a suitcase. A ghost with a suitcase.
Yeah, man, Harden's gone. Once again, Harden chooses his destination and chooses to leave it. So he chose Brooklyn. Actually, he chose Houston. He chose Brooklyn. He chose Philly. So that's 0-3. And now he's choosing L.A. But I'm sure it's going to go differently for him and the Clippers.
Oh, no doubt about that. Well, who do you think at this point at least got the best of that deal?
Well, I'm going to say not having James Harden on your team is the best of that deal. You know, I think it was fairly even as far as overall value. I know it's James Harden, and the name attached is always going to bring some cachet, I guess. But I'm just not a Harden guy. I've never really been, to be honest with you. I've always just kind of been skeptical of what his real impact is. I know that in his prime he was one of the best scorers we've ever seen, but I never thought that he contributed to winning quite the way that he should have at that talent level. So he didn't, you know, he had a good season last year with Philly, and I think it would have helped. But I mean, looking at Tyrese Maxey and how he's played, not messing with that is important for the Sixers. So that's a win for them. They got some draft capital. That's a win for them. They've got some guys that can help on the bench. That's a win to some degree. And they are unlocking Tyrese Maxey. So we'll see how that goes. As far as the Clippers go, they get rid of some guys that maybe weren't getting a ton of the minutes and weren't doing a ton, and they get Harden, who their two stars wanted. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard wanted James Harden, so they win in that respect. It's not exactly a blockbuster trade, but it's a trade where both sides can be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I think you're right. For Philly, addition by subtraction, so we'll see how it all plays out. Last night, nice win for the Celtics, and as you pointed out, an important win. Good to see them not go down that rabbit hole of playing down to their competition.
Yeah, how frustrating was that all season long last year? They let their talent kind of speak, and they went in and didn't worry about who they were playing. They worried about executing what they were trying to do, and that ended up being, you know, the recipe for a dominant performance. They knew that Daniel Gafford was out, so they attacked the middle of the paint. And when that forced double teams, they passed out of it, and whoever got the ball had an opportunity to make a play. And as I always say, when you move the ball and you play the right way, the right guys get the right stats. And Tatum and Brown combined for 69. Those are the guys, those are your scorers. So when you make the right plays, your scorers tend to get the ball. And so they did, and they had big performances. And that's kind of what you want. You want to see a team go out there, go up by 37 against a rebuilding team. And they went out. And it's aside from the fourth quarter when the bench kind of struggled, the first three quarters when the regulars played is about as good as you can expect an NBA team to play in that situation.
And we talked about it a little bit last week, too, but I'm still at that point. The season is so new that every time I see him out there, I'm still astonished at how much space Porzingis takes up.
Oh, he's a big guy. He is such a big guy. He's legit. I'm a big guy, too. Like, I'm 6'5", and I go talk to him, and I'm just reaching my arm way up to see him and to record him, and I'm, like, straining my neck to look up to him. It's really just kind of funny to see how people in the, you know, on the beat are like, he makes you look small. That's how big he is. And he takes up a lot of space, and he has a lot of gravity. He hits from 28 feet, right? So when he's out there, you have to account for him. And not only that, now in a game like last night against Washington, he's just dominating the post. And he only took 9 shots in that game, but seven of them came in the first quarter. And that's when the Celtics really, really kind of made their early run, and he started it, right? Like, he started the whole thing. And then Jalen and Jason finished that. So glad you brought it up, because it really was the Porzingis show early. Just dump it to him in the paint. He's so much bigger than everybody else. You just throw it up there. He goes and gets it, and he finishes around the rim, and he finishes kind of wherever on the floor he gets it. And it's just, it's an important element to have when your big can score in so many ways like that. And as much as, you know, I liked the guys that left, you see exactly what Brad Stevens was looking for in Porzingis.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. It was certainly an interesting lineup that took the floor to begin the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that group, it was not good. It was not good. Mm. It starts off with Al Horford being on there. Why was Al Horford in there? I think somebody might have forgotten to sub him out, because as soon as he went out there, Joe Mazzulla was like, no, get Luke Kornet out there. But look, a lot's being made about the Celtics bench, and it's only three games. The preseason didn't tell us much about anything. They played a lot together, but that's not their roles, right?
Right.
Their roles are to play next to Tatum and Brown and Porzingis. So they kind of struggled a little bit in those roles. And then last night in the fourth quarter, they just kind of threw them back together. They're like, okay, go back out there and play. And I don't know, sometimes, look, you give up. You the other team has, you know, NBA players on it. They were down by 35, and they were like, they started hitting shots. They got hot, and they closed the gap in the fourth quarter. I'm not so concerned. I'm not terribly concerned with, like, for example, Sam Hauser's shooting, right? He's shooting right now 17% from three, but it's so early that if he goes 5 for 5 against Indiana, which he's totally capable of doing, then he's shooting 40% on the season. So soon, so early, it's a concern to that, you know, to the degree that it's not something you want to see, and everything else is going pretty well. So this stands out, but I'm not overly concerned about the bench right now. It's definitely a work in progress.
Well, yeah, I thought of it the similar way. It's like when a high school coach clears out the bench in the last 2 minutes, and you look and go, well, that's why those guys don't play. Look at them out there, but you don't want them to play as a group. You want one at a time, two at a time, maybe, to be out there with the starters.
Right, and you want them to get those reps in that role, because it's one thing for, say, a Peyton Pritchard to get all of those minutes in the preseason and put up all of those points. I've been trying to tell everybody that was listening, hey, he's not going to get that same opportunity once the season starts, and he hasn't. And it's been a little bit of a struggle for him to start. It doesn't mean he's not making plays. That doesn't mean he's not having a positive impact. It just means that he's not going to be the sixth man of the year like people were saying at the beginning of the season. It's different. And so give these guys a little bit of time to play in that second unit, where it's Tatum and maybe Holiday or Derek White and two or three bench guys. You know, Al Horford, who almost doesn't count as a bench guy, and a couple of the other role players. And let them get those reps before really fully passing judgment. It's Halloween. You know, like, you're not supposed to make any definitive comments about this team aside from they are good, but at Halloween. Like, give it to Thanksgiving. Give it till Christmas. You got holidays at the end of each month. There's three benchmarks. This one, okay, they're good. Next one and the one after that, we'll start to get a little bit more specific with it.
What do you think we'll see tomorrow night against the Pacers?
You know, it's just hopefully a continuation against a team that's a pretty good offensive team. So the Pacers can put up a lot of points. It's going to be a good test for the defense. So I want to see the Celtics go out there and do a lot of the things that were effective defensively in the first three games. I want to see Derek White and Drew Holiday getting down and dirty and diving for loose balls and poking balls free. I want to see them forcing more turnovers and running, getting into transition and putting up 90, 95 shots. That's going to be the recipe for winning that game. But it starts with the defense against the Pacers. because I don't think the Pacers are going to be able to defend the Celtics. So if I don't want to see a shootout. I don't want to see 140 to 130. But if it's a win, I'll take it. But I want to see so just some good defense, good defensive principles up front, and to see if they can shut down a good offensive team. It'd be a good early test.
John Corrales, Talking Celtics with us. John, thanks as always. Have yourself a good week, and we'll check in again next Tuesday afternoon.
All right. Talk to you then. See ya.